On today's edition of the Talking Puck Podcast, Mike Haynes wanted to weigh in with his thoughts on Barry Trotz, what's going on there in the island, and the few open jobs that we do know about in the NHL right now. We decided, we're taping this on a Wednesday, and you're hearing this on a Friday or maybe a little later, that we were going to also look at what happens if things go sideways for teams in this first round. Now, at Wednesday's taping, we only knew for sure that one series was over. That was Colorado. But we also now know the St. Louis Blues have moved on past the Minnesota Wild. Otherwise, everything remains exactly as it was on Wednesday. We don't know the outcome of 6 of the 8 series in the NHL playoffs. So here we go. Here's a look at what's going on, possible coaching changes, and a couple of interesting thoughts and tidbits mixed in as well. The Talking Puck Podcast starts right now. Hello, everyone. Time once again for the Talking Puck Podcast. Tom Callahan, Mike Haynes here with you. Follow us on Twitter, if you will. He is at BusterTheDog33. I'm at Callahan on air. And you can reach us there all during the week. And then Sunday nights when we do our live show at 9 p.m. Eastern time on Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live, you can also reach out with your questions and comments there as well. And we do encourage that. We love when we have an active chat going. And sometimes it gets a little contentious out there. So we have a little bit of sparks flying in the chat, but that's what makes it fun, right, Mike?
That's my favorite. love to see that happening where we get some. You know, that's why we do this, because there are different sides to the arguments. There's different ways of looking at things, and that's what makes it fun. That's why we continue to do it. So yeah, I look forward to it for sure. And we got a good topic today. You know, we spent a lot of time talking about goaltenders, and I know you, having played it. I've got a son. We love talking about goalies, but I've been coaching. First time I ever coached, I was right out of college, and back in 1986, I coached a JV high school team in Ridgefield, Connecticut, and then I've continued to coach at all different levels, and I know how hard it is but how rewarding it is. And we're going to use that subject of coaches in the National Hockey League, because when the season ends, you start to see we had a number of coaching changes during the season this past year, but now we're starting to see some coaches losing their jobs, unfortunately. And I think as teams get eliminated from the playoffs, I think we're going to see more, but it's rare what we're going to talk about today, Tom, because this is a big name that has had a lot of success and has won a Stanley Cup. And that's always, you're a little bit taken aback when you see that happening. So tell us the story behind the story with Barry Trotz.
So Barry Trotz out as coach of the New York Islanders. And I talked about it a little bit earlier in the week, Mike, but what I found interesting, now that I've heard Lou Lamoriello's comments, Lou said, this was my decision alone. It had nothing to do with player input, which, again, this move mystifies me and apparently several people in the national press as well. Looking at it from the outside, looking in, because let's just take a look at this season for the Islanders. The previous two seasons, they went to the Eastern Conference Final and lost to the Stanley Cup champion Tampa Bay Lightning both times. Mm-hmm. Pretty good run. By mm-hmm. any standard, you're one of the last four teams. This year, on the road for an extended road trip because your home building's not even ready, two separate bouts of COVID that ransacked your team, not just took out one player, but two bouts that took out your team for extended periods of time. You had big-time injuries to some big names during the season as well. So all of these factors, just I tell you that, I could tell you this generically about any team, you'd be like, man, they're going to have a tough time making the playoffs. Yet the Islanders at the end of the year still got back into the conversation with about 3 weeks left. Mm-hmm. Even though they didn't get over the hump, obviously. But the fact that, Mike, we even mentioned them in the same breath as the word wild card to me was right. An incredible feat for that team, given everything they had to battle through. So when he gets let go, and Lou Lamoriello says, it's only my decision. So that's what I guessed at first. This is obviously something internal. They must have disagreed over something substantial and not agreed on the path forward. And of course, it's Lou's way or the highway. So if Barry Trotz did not agree on the direction, Lou wanted to take the team, then he's out. That said, and he's got one more year on his deal. That's the other thing. I don't understand why you pay him to sit with what he's done, unless the disagreement is so substantial. But for Lou to say there was no team input, I disagree with that as well, because obviously he's had his player meetings, his exit meetings with everybody. You've gone through, you've talked to everybody. Somehow, whether you think it does or not, that colors your feelings on the situation. So I wonder if somehow, perhaps in the room, maybe some of those younger players that Trotz was criticized about not bringing along as fast, perhaps as some people would have liked. Does that leak into your thought process? Absolutely. I think it has to.
Yeah, well, Lou Lamoriello does have the reputation for changing coaches. He certainly did that in New Jersey. Even when there was some success happening, he made late season changes. I mean, he rotated through some coaches there. And this was not a case of that this wasn't his guy, right? Because he brought, after he got that job coming from Toronto, Lamoriello, he brought Trotz in, right? That was his hire. So it wasn't
right.
It wasn't a case of, okay, well, it wasn't his guy. You know, we see that enough around the National Hockey League. He hired him, and he hired him right after a Stanley Cup win. I mean, it was a really interesting move, and he's proven himself to be a very good coach and has won a Stanley Cup. And as you said, was just games away from getting to the Stanley Cup Finals for two consecutive years, and all the things that you talked about were certainly roadblocks this year for New York. And it is interesting. I have certainly seen this when teams have success. I've seen it firsthand, Tom. Is when teams have success, coaches like to have a little more say. They feel like they know what they need, especially if you just missed. The coaches will say, this is what I need. This is what we have. And if there is I think I'm going to agree with you on this. There must have been some disagreement about personnel. That's the only thing that makes any sense, is what direction. Barry Trotz has coached these guys now for 3 years, has a sense of where, what he needs to get over that hump and get to the Stanley Cup Finals. And had to have been some disagreement, because you can't say that he's not a good coach. I mean, that's insane. And he's certainly not trouble. He's a good person. So, and he's good with the media. So what's there not to like in terms of his coaching and his demeanor and his media savviness? All that is good, especially in that market. It only makes sense, unless there's something we're just not privy to, but it only makes sense there had to have been some disagreement about personnel. That's the only logical conclusion you can come to.
And being around a locker room that he coached for 5 years, you know, you're looking at it, not everybody's happy. I remember there were players on that Predators team that even when they were having success, of course they're not. No one's always happy, right?
Well, because no one's always getting 25 minutes of playing time.
Right.
Would you say player disagreement or unhappiness? I'm going to say 95% of the time is playing time. Right. What's the other 5%?
Personality clashes. Clashes. When guys have opinions, and I think part of it was there were some strong opinions about how leadership should go with that Predators team. And specifically, I'm thinking of the playoff series too against Phoenix, where, you know, you had the Radulov-Kostitsyn incident, and Trotz tried to handle it the best he could, but you know, sometimes you just have these renegade players. And so this is going to split the locker room, though, is some guys look at Kostitsyn and Radulov back in the day as whatever they've done, we need them in the lineup to win. So are we here to win or not? And then there's the other half of the locker room going, I don't care, win or lose, like these guys need to be disciplined for what they did, because clearly they're not part of the team if they're disregarding it. So I think things like that can fracture a locker room and cause dissatisfaction.
Agreed. I just think the grumbling, I've at least I'll just go by my experience, has mostly been about playing time. It's just guys feel like they're getting shortchanged. Nobody complains about too much playing time. It's always he's not playing me. Because guys look at it, if you don't get the playing time, you can't get the numbers, and then you don't make the money. That's what it comes down to. It's always about the money, and you can't make the money unless you're getting playing time and producing. So I don't know. I've always found that that's where the grumbling in the back of the bus comes from is he's not playing me. He's not playing me. And or he's not, he doesn't, or my role. I don't like my role on the team either. You see that a lot too. You know what? I'm a scorer, you know, and he wants me killing penalties, you know, whatever, you know, that kind of thing. Or goaltenders, you know, he's not playing me enough. I don't know, but he certainly, I can't imagine if he wants to, Tom, coach again. I would think he seems like he's full of life that, would he jump to number one on the list, at least for interviews and the teams right now that we know are open, Winnipeg and Detroit are open right now. And I think some more are coming, maybe in Nashville, which would be, I don't know if he's on that list or not, but if you're Detroit or Winnipeg, and those are two teams, right, that are, does he jump to number one, at least on the interview list? You'd have to think he would, right? Who else is out there right now that's ahead of him in terms of his credentials and resume?
I do think he jumps to number one. But here's the other thing, Mike, because I think he's at a point in his career, too, where and number one, I did mention this earlier, too, is that Winnipeg would be going home. Trotz is from Manitoba, a couple hours outside of Winnipeg. I don't know if that holds allure for him or not. For some people, it does. For some people, it does not. I don't know if it matters. Winnipeg is certainly a better destination than Detroit on paper, as far as the team he has to coach. But I don't know if either situation is necessarily right for Barry Trotz. I feel like Trotz is a coach at this point in his career who has won a Stanley Cup, has taken the Islanders to two conference finals. He's the guy that if you feel like the difference between getting your players going the right way and not is a coach, that's the team he belongs on. Because he can galvanize a team for a couple of seasons to do incredible things. The other thing that was brought up too, Mike, is that he asks a lot of guys defensively, and it can grind a team down over 82 games in a playoff run. And I've seen some people say, well, it's not sustainable to play that way. You can't have continued success. And I'll just point at the Islanders going to the conference final two straight years, and the Capitals the year before that winning the Stanley Cup with it. You can sustain it, and you can have success with it. Maybe it doesn't earn you success in this day and age for 5 years. But again, if you're a team that is a coach away from a cup, I'm talking to this guy. That's the situation I think he goes in, home run, slam dunk. Like that's absolutely number one on my interview chart.
Well, that would, to me, that would put Winnipeg ahead of Detroit if I'm Barry Trotz, because Detroit's still in a huge rebuilding. They've got years to go. But then you got to look at Winnipeg and say, did they miss their mark? They had a team, they were a contender, and they just never could put it together, and they're going to have to almost start over again? Or do they still have enough talent on that team and a good goaltender that you bring in the right coach and he can get you over the hump? If I'm Barry Trotz and I've got a choice between those two, Winnipeg makes the most sense, I think.
The team that I'm flipping an eyebrow at right now, Mike, is Edmonton. And no disrespect to Jay Woodcroft and the job he's done with them, but is Edmonton a coach away, or is it deeper than that? I'd argue it's deeper than that, but they could
make
be a coach
another
away.
Coach, make another coaching change in Edmonton.
I know.
Oh my goodness. That would be
the fans
would be tough.
The fans would be so torn because they'd be so angry they make another change, but if that's the guy you're bringing in.
If they lose in the first round again, and almost missed the playoffs, it seemed like at times this year. Oh boy, I don't know how much loyalty those fans have, to their current coach. Whereas if you bring in a name, maybe you can get them on board. For that, it's not like you're letting go a name guy or a longtime Oiler. You know, it's not like, you're Mark Messier was your coach or something. You know, I mean, you're
I don't know how much loyalty is really there, especially if you don't win in the, if you lose to LA in the first round. So you could see that they'd be a little more accepting of that. Boy, I don't know who else. So speaking of that, what other teams do you think, let's say first round gets done, what teams maybe make who's next? Who's next on the chopping block, if you will?
So I do not see Minnesota making a change. I don't. But here's the one reason I bring up Minnesota at all is because of Craig Leopold's ownership of the Wild. Obvious Trotz link when Leopold was owner of the Predators. Barry was there from the beginning. I just think at the very least, there might be a conversation if the Wild somehow, after getting bounced in the first round, decide to make a change. But again, the Wild are about to enter Vegas cap jail territory. And speaking of Vegas, of all the teams, is Kelly McCrimmon safe? Is Pete DeBoer safe? They've mismanaged themselves into cap hell. They're not just in jail anymore. They're in like the fifth concentric circle of cap hell. So I don't know if they are appealing. There's a lot of talent on that roster, but are you ever going to have it all on the ice? And I don't know that you are. I think there's too many bloated contracts there. But certainly if I'm Vegas and I go coach shopping, I have to call Barry Trotz and at least see if he's interested.
You know what? That to me would be the most intriguing one. That would be the place to go. I mean, you're going to have to do some whittling to get, you know, to get your 18 on the ice and your two goalies. But if you can get that figured out, that might be a perfect place for him to go. Maybe he can get, you know, if I'm Vegas, I'm thinking, okay. Because they seem like at least a franchise. They're willing to pay money. They're willing to do what it takes to win, and I'm sure they would like, you know, they wouldn't mind having a name come in there, a proven winner. You certainly, if you, by not making the playoffs, if you're the GM, you might be able to shove the blame a little bit towards the coaching, and not your front office, right?
Yeah,
that's all. I've seen that tactic used before. When maybe there's some errors made in the front office, it's easy to go, well, then we'll make a coaching change, and then the blame gets put there. So that would be a tactical, pretty good move, I think, by Vegas.
All right, Mike, let me roll the grenade in the room here for you.
Yeah,
I pulled the pin. Here it comes.
Yeah,
Florida Panthers, first round exit. Do you keep Andrew Brunette? And are they a coach away? Is that a Barry Trotz championship potential team? Time for a quick break, then back with more of the Talking Puck Podcast in just a moment. You know, here at Talking Puck, we generate a lot of media on different platforms. Open Media's 4K download suite makes my life a lot easier, and it can help you too. Whether you need to download audio clips, convert streams to audio, which we do a lot of here, creating slideshows, or even need help with your social media accounts like Instagram and TikTok, there's something for everyone, from casual user to pro. Use our special link, bit.ly/4kpuck. That's bit.ly/4kpuck to receive a special discount of 25% off your purchase. That's bit.ly/4kpuck. Talking Puck is now on Signal to Noise Radio every Monday night at 7 p.m. Eastern. Signal to Noise is one of the fastest growing internet radio stations, and now they have merch. Help spread the word about Signal to Noise Radio with t-shirts, stickers, keychains, and more. Shipping is direct and free. $25 gets you a t-shirt, while keychains and swag packs start at just $7. Order today at stnradio.com/merch. And thanks for your support. Now back to the show.
Oh boy, that's a killer. That is a grenade. That's a Ted Kaczynski bomb put in here. Let's see. No, I think they've. I think,
really?
No, I think that. They're not going to, the team is going in the right direction. And I think that they're going to, I think no matter what happens, they'll stick with Brunette. I can't see them making that change. I don't think so. Maybe they just look at it that was a good, it'll be a good experience. We're still young. Let's come back and get you next year with this group. We did win the President's Trophy.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't see them making that change. Vegas is more intriguing to me now that you brought that up. That's one where, again, the management can go. It was the coaches. We did everything we could. We gave you all this talent, spent all this money. You guys didn't even get us into the playoffs. We're making a coaching change. We're bringing in the guy who's won before. That to me is the move.
Yeah. Yeah. That.
What do you think? What about you? If you're Florida, do you make a move?
Ah, man, it really depends how I feel about Andrew Brunette, but I think if Trotz is interested, and I don't even know that Brunette stays to be an assistant coach in that scenario. At some point you have to get the experience to be a head coach to become a head coach, right? But man, I'm awful tempted if I'm Florida. If Trotz is there and wants to come down and you have guys like Florida's roster is really good, but they are a run and gun, free skating, free wheeling, score some goals team. Mm-hmm. Now, but that's what Washington was. Washington made some decent runs, but never won. Trotz came in, took Washington, reined them in just a little bit, just enough, and they win a cup. So, man, I'm severely tempted if I'm Florida, if he's got any interest at all.
If they get knocked out in the first round.
Right.
Is that your caveat there?
Yeah.
It's a first round loss.
Yeah, I mean, if they make a run to the conference final, I mean, it's, you know, Brunette learning on the job and whatever, that's fine. Okay, he's obviously shown he can rally the troops and get them through some tough times.
Right. Right. Okay. No, I can see that. I can see that you have to have at least that conversation. But it certainly seems like he's going to at least have some options. There's going to be some interest. I don't think he's going to be out of work next year, right?
Well, and unless he wants to sit for a year.
Right. Right. Right.
He has the luxury of being paid next year. But again, I think, Mike, we all know that hockey is a cruel mistress and that when your name is out, you can be forgotten. Although, guys like Bruce Boudreau and them get back in, but they keep themselves visible by taking these media jobs, right? I don't know if I could see. I think he'd be an awesome analyst because he'd be very upfront with you, but I just don't know that he'd want to do it.
I don't think so either, but he would be good at it. He'd be fun to listen to for sure. So barring Vegas, Florida, making a coaching change or wanting to make a coaching change, anybody else around the league? Do you think Montreal, they're going to stay with St. Louis? You've got Arizona again, another terrible year. Jersey didn't have a great year. Is anybody there? Anaheim? Anybody, these teams that didn't make the playoffs, any changes coming, you think?
Well, I don't think Arizona wants to improve. So I'm just being honest. I don't. So I don't think they make a change because Barry Trotz would make them a lot better. So no, they don't make that reach. Barry can't go to Montreal. He doesn't speak French. And I mean, that's pretty much a requirement. It's an unstated job requirement. So no, I don't see that happening. I'm just kind of thinking about some of the other teams. Like you think about a lot of those mid-pack almost teams. The Sabres have a nice up-and-coming core, but Don Granato's been a good coach for them, and they like him. And plus the Sabres, you want to talk about a franchise that hasn't had stability, GM or head coach. The Buffalo Sabres could use stability in those roles as well. So hopefully Granato can give them that. But, you know, Columbus kind of went through some turnover there. But is Columbus a team that a coach makes that big of a difference, or does Columbus need more personnel moves and thought? Plus, Columbus has got that giant Seth Jones contract they finally unloaded. Maybe there's a little freedom for the Blue Jays. I mean, who knows? You know, there's... I think a lot of it depends on the system. Philadelphia has been underachieving for a long time. And a lot of people try to blame all these different players, all these different elements, and a lot of it obviously falls on the goaltending. But, you know, is Philly a team that could benefit from a better coach? I think there's a lot of those questions. Anaheim was there, then kind of fell off towards the end, but I think they're set there. San Jose comes to mind. That's a team in transition. Right. But again, so just trying to think, if I were a Stanley Cup winning coach with a paid year, am I going to give up that paid year to take another contract with a team that is just not that good? You know, that's the question. Is it better to have a head coaching job than not? Or when you get to that age, that number of wins, you've got a ring, is it better to wait and try to pick your spot? I think I'd pick my spot at that point.
Well, one other team, I mean, just throwing it out there, is Chicago. You've got a general manager who was interim, got the tag taken off. Does he make a big splash? It's a big city that has had success in the last 10 years, and they've got some money on this sort of thing. And do they think, okay, we need a coach. We need a really good coach to come in here. Does this new general manager make that move?
So does that get Patrick Kane to stay?
Yeah.
Consensus feels like Kane's on his way out the door.
Oof, boy. It's funny how franchises can change so fast. Isn't
I know.
It? Coaches are smart enough now. Things have changed. They're smart enough now to understand about the marketing part too. If you go to Chicago, opposed to Columbus, if you want to just go and coach, you don't care about anything else, you go to a Columbus. But if you care about your name, brand, and I'm using little quotation marks here, if you your brand and trying to keep your name big and all that stuff, then you think about a Chicago. Or do you like going to a Winnipeg where it's all about you? It's, you're in the papers every single day, front page, any little move you make, that's all you're talking about. Do you like that? Do you enjoy it? Do you like being under the microscope? But you also, there's a lot of benefits to it too. So I think, your personality could determine about where you go. Because, it's New York, but it's also the Islanders. It's not the Rangers. It's just not. And while it is a huge city, the Islanders are way down on the list of sports that teams that are anybody's interested in that area. You have a good core group of fans, but you're not. It's whatever you're doing is really under the radar. And so I don't know. I think some of that could be determined by his personality and what he wants to do in terms of how much he enjoys being in the spotlight too.
Yeah, and that's why I didn't even really spend a whole lot of time with New Jersey, because I feel like it's very much the same thing, and they're the third wheel in market for sure. So
right.
Yeah, it's just how it is. I mean, Devils fans are indignant right now, but I'm sorry, that's just the reality of the situation.
It is. It is. So, it would be interesting to see if he decides he would like to go home to Winnipeg, because they do have some talent there, and they have loyal fans. But that's also a town, I think, that has run out of patience too. They have been promised. They've been promised something for a long time that hasn't. They haven't really knocked on the Stanley Cup door. They really haven't. I mean, they've teased a little bit, like, look at this lineup. Look at this. This has got everything. I think especially back in the Dustin Byfuglien days when they had some talent on that team. That was a team that could score. They could hit. They got decent goaltending. I thought that they had a chance. That was then. And they just never quite got over. And I think they've got some rebuilding to do there. So that while it might be appealing just because of that's your home, that's not a team I think that is just a coach away from winning the Stanley Cup.
Are there any other either coaches or teams? And we did bring up Vegas. I honestly think Vegas does need a directional change. And whoever comes in has got a mess to clean up, quite frankly. Mm-hmm. But are there any other teams out there that you think, boy, they could probably use a new voice. As we talked about, there were changes this year. Vancouver still hasn't really said anything about Bruce Boudreau, but he's in on some meetings with players right now. I have to feel like he's staying. I'd be shocked if he didn't.
Yeah, the team got better under him, and they contended to make the playoffs. But I got to think that he gets another try for another season.
Chicago was a good one that you mentioned. I mean, you're not sure what could happen there. There could be a lot of turnover.
That's a big market, and but that's also a team. Again, it's that sense of, do I want to be part of something for 5 years of building, or do I want to come in and they just like the Florida situation? That's a team that has the talent right now to win the Stanley Cup, and maybe they just need some little tweaks with the coach. That's a whole different conversation, isn't it? That's about, okay, I can come in, my style, I can get a Stanley Cup right away. Whereas if you go to Chicago, okay, huge market, great for me. It's a tremendous organization, but this is a long term situation. So that, you know, he's got to weigh those two things. I'm with you. If that Florida, that the job that you'd want of all the teams in the NHL right now, Florida's the one that you would want, because they can win a Stanley Cup with the right coach, for sure. I'm not saying that Andrew Burnett's not the right coach, but I'm just saying that if you feel like you're that guy that can come in and do those little things, that's a team that can win the Stanley Cup next year.
The only other one that I wonder about, and this has nothing to do with the coach himself, but everything to do with his age and his health, which sometimes is an issue, is Rick Bowness in Dallas. I know that he's had some time away because he's had some health issues. So I wonder at some point if Bowness doesn't step back from that job. And that, again, is nothing to do with the performance of the Dallas Stars, you know, on the ice. It would be everything to do with what's best for him personally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that, again, that's another team that they're not on the precipice of winning the Stanley Cup. They're a good enough team right now that they make the playoffs, but they're not going anywhere. They're not going to the Stanley Cup. And they're not a young team that's not going to the Stanley Cup because they haven't learned how to win. Where you got some teams like that, but that's an older team that just, I think they've got a lot of work still to do. They don't even have, I just don't think they have an identity really as to who they are, what they're doing there. And they got a good coach. They got a good young goaltender. They got some veteran guys who still got a little bit left to score some goals, but they're not going to win the Stanley Cup. That's not a team as a coach you go, oh, okay, these guys are ready. They just need a little push in the right direction. That's a team that's going to have several changes if they're going to be good.
Yeah, I would agree with that. As far as Stanley Cup winning, good.
Right.
That's for sure. All right. Well, Mike, anything else you wanted to cover on this one? I think we've run over the coaches pretty well here.
Yeah. You know, I think we'll find out probably after the first round is done. There'll be some organizations that are unhappy, especially if they got upset in the first round, that they may want to make a coaching change. I'm just going to throw this out there. I don't think at all that he's done a bad job, but at some point you always hear the players stop listening. If Tampa Bay loses in the first round to Toronto, is there a point where John Cooper, who's been a tremendous coach, and I always enjoyed him and his media press conferences. I think he's just great. I think he's a great coach. But at some point, I don't know what it is about the NHL, but they guys just stop listening, right? Is there a point where, and Tampa Bay is going to start going the other direction. They just have to. Is there some point that you think, well, maybe we just need a new voice in here? Is it too early to say that?
I think with Tampa Bay, yes. Even if they lose in the first round, because the previous two rounds, they won Stanley Cups. And, Mike, there's nowhere to go but down unless you win the cup again, right?
Right,
That's even if you lose in the final, you still go a step down. So, you know, I'm willing to give him more time. I don't know. I'm kind of looking at Boston right now too, and thinking to myself, and that's not a patient sports town. I mean, they you know, have suffered through so many droughts between championships. Mm-hmm. But you know, you wonder, and I don't look at Boston again. Boston is a team that has three big time guys on the same line right now. And maybe they get distributed again. I don't know, but I don't know that coaching is the difference for the Bruins.
No,
I think the roster is the difference for the Bruins. So I don't even know if Boston entertains a change or not, but I'll throw it out there just in case it happens. Cause there's a small percentage possibility that maybe, you know, they decide that's the issue. I don't think it is, but you know, I'm not running the Bruins.
No, I agree with you. That's not the issue. They've got to get younger. They've got to start getting some. They've got to have some. They're in that situation that other teams have been in. Nashville was in this for a long time, where you're just good enough. You're making the playoffs. You're not winning everything, but you're finishing too well to get great draft picks.
Right.
And I think Boston has been in that boat for a while. They were fortunate that, you know, with they got Pastrnak, but they've been good enough to get in the playoffs, not good enough to win, and therefore you're not getting, you know, top draft picks. And at some point, the guys you have on your team get older. They haven't won lately, and you don't have anybody coming up. So they're in a tough situation. That's a team in a tough situation. And you know, you've got, when you have your chance at some high picks, you can't miss. You got to do well. And Boston, I think, has been such a middling team for so long that their cabinet is empty. When I read about Boston, I don't go, look at this guy coming. Wait, to, you know, the fans aren't going, oh, I can't wait to see this guy play. They don't have that right now. They're hanging on to older players, and there's going to have to be some changes on the roster here soon. They just have to.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And they might be better off. They might, as strange as it sounds, the way the NHL works now, you have to go through some losing in order to get those high picks and then come back. And then there's a nut, then you, it's just, you know, it just comes back around, and you do well in the picks, and you start winning again. But I think Boston hasn't gone through their real bad losing period yet, and I think that's coming.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how it goes for the Bruins. They're still in that series too. I mean, by the time this is actually coming out on Friday, they may no longer be in the series. We're taping on a Wednesday, but this is coming out Friday. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how it's all going to break down. But a lot of food for thought, Mike, heading into our Sunday show.
Yes. Yes. You know what? That's part of the NHL. No league changes coaches more than the NHL does. So it'll be a constant topic of conversation through the summer for sure. And of course, by the time we do our show on Sunday, teams will be eliminated. And then when you get eliminated in the first round, especially if you were a favorite, then that's when the coaching change talks. Talks begin, and you think, okay, you know what, we got a upset in the first round. Maybe it's the coach's fault. Unfortunately, that happens too often in the NHL, where coaches take the blame for teams that don't win.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see how it all pans out, but, you know, it's never that the other team is better. It's that there's a problem with your team.
That's right.
That's for sure. All right. Well, we thank you so much for listening into our podcast again here today. And you can like, follow, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Also, as Mike mentioned, we are live 9 p.m. Eastern Time Sunday nights on Twitch, on YouTube, and on Facebook Live. So just look for Talking Puck TV. And if you missed the show, stnradio.com runs a live playback of the show 7 p.m. Eastern Time on Monday night. So if you ever miss it, you can go there. But catch the live show. We take questions. We love the chat, and it's very interactive. So Mike and I love to hear from you as well. So we'll talk to you on Monday and Sunday and Tuesday and Wednesday, whenever we can talk to you. We love it. So, all right, Mike. Well, I guess we're going to have some fun here, seeing what happens between now and Sunday, and absolutely looking forward to it.
Sunday, we will have a lot of things to talk about because teams will have been eliminated, and we'll be looking forward to the second round. So plenty to talk about on Sunday night.
That's right. Join us then. And thanks for listening to the Talking Puck Podcast. We'll talk to you next time.